Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Again, please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this week and next Sunday. Also, information on our radio and internet broadcasts can be found in the bulletin and insert as well. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We will dedicate our benevolence offering today to Victor's brother-in-law, Joel Brazelton. And many of you know that Joel has been undergoing chemotherapy, and very expensive indeed it is. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 44. And can it be that I should gain?
Thank you.
Let us continue our worship now with hymn number 477, At Calvary. Will you please stand as we sing hymn number 454, What a Wonderful Savior.
Please remain standing for prayer. I just want to read briefly an email that came just this morning as Greg, my associate, handled to me. It came from Colombia. Look at how important is our broadcast through the internet. Greetings in the ever powerful and sweet name of our Lord Jesus and Lord. It came in English. I am dropping these few lines from Colombia just to let you know that your ministry is reaching and blessing lives so far. It was a real joy to listen to Dr. Otero again in English language. He was one of the most inspired and gifted teachers we have ever heard. And I remember my first year as a believer about 20 years ago, in which I listened to Dr. Otero on family radio broadcast and was the only contact I had with sound doctrine and inspirational Bible teaching. Please send him my regards and tell him that down here in this troubled country are a group of believers that still are influenced and motivated and grateful for his ministry. Please pray for this country, considered as one of the most violent places in the world and still a missionary field. With appreciation, Jose Villar. How wonderful it is that we are open the gospel, open the lines, and God places it in the hearts of people. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our merciful and wonderful High Priest. We are so delighted to know that our prayer goes into heaven because of our intercessor, Jesus, our Lord. And Father, as he commanded us to do so in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, to go into all the world, Father, not only we are serving you here in Morgan Hill, but via the internet, we are around the world, as this letter already said. And then through the tape ministry and through the radio ministry and KKMC, we are influencing our community, actually bringing to our community the message of the gospel, which is the only thing that can change life and give us everlasting life. Lord, the scripture says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And this past week, we saw the departure of Martha Goodman, Brother Russell Goodman's mother. And we are delighted that she have a full life. We are delighted that she knew you, and delighted that she brought to life Russell, one of our inspirations in our life, and in my own life and in the life of my wife. And Father, we pray that as this Tuesday comes about, the name of Jesus be glorified in her service as we dismiss her and put her to rest. And that the name of Jesus be known by the family and friends who come, that Martha will still preaching even though she is with you. Thank you, Lord, for her life. And now, Father, also we have other people who are sick and perhaps who have difficulties in their life and their physical life, and we commend them to you, to your care. I thank you, Lord, for the care of Emma, my granddaughter, who had a surgery, an emergency last week, and is all done and finished and is in recovery. Thank you, Father, for your mercies upon our life. We thank you, Lord, for the great list of missionaries that we have, Fred and Carol Lewis in Siberia, Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Eusebio and Maritza Perez, Benal Madena, David and Denise Rhodes in Papua New Guinea, Giovanna and Barbara, Aldendaño in Guatemala, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Danielle and Miriam Lacey, who work in the motorsport ministries as a chaplain in the racetracks. Lord, thank you for these people. Bless them, encourage them, provide for them that they will have enough so that they can minister your word everywhere. Lord, we are approaching the day of Easter, the day in which we celebrate the resurrection. And in this month, I want to preach exclusively the gospel of Jesus with power. And so, Father, help us to convey to people that this is not a religion. This is the way of life. Either we believe in him or our destiny is quite different. So, Father, help us to convey with love and compassion, with tenderness, that Jesus is the Savior of our soul. I speak today, O Lord, that I may move from the pulpit and people may hear Jesus and Jesus alone. Thank you, Lord, for your continuous provision for our church and so many ministries. Your people are faithful. So bless the offering and bless the giver in the name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel according to Matthew. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 565, and we will be reading Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 through 22. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 through 22. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your mercy and your graciousness, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We love you and realize that you loved us first. We thank you that you have drawn us to Jesus and now want to follow him above all else. Strengthen us that we may not stray from that course. We pray now for your servant and our pastor and teacher, Gabriel Otero. Be his strength and direct his steps as he comes to serve you and us in preaching your word. Give us understanding and wisdom so that we may follow your commands. We pray for any unbelievers listening on the radio and internet, that you would bless them with the gift of faith, that they would believe the gospel and be saved. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated?
If you turn your Bible to 2 Peter 1 and verse 16, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, page 716, if you are using the Bible that is in the pulpit, that is in the pew, as I have in my hand, is a red Bible. 2 Peter 1 and verse 16 will be our text for this month of April. The Apostle Peter tells the church these words, For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power of and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you this month and to those who listen over the internet and tape ministry and radio and CD ministry. I want to speak to you about Jesus this month of April, about Jesus. And I am not going to follow cunningly devised fables or stories to tell you about Jesus so that you can get in love with him. I want to tell you what the scripture says about Jesus. And everything you're going to learn about Jesus this month is with the purpose that either approve yourself in the hands of God or you turn yourself to the hands of God that he may save you and make you strong. So my goal during this month of April, is to bring your attention to the gospel of Christ. Not from, as Peter said, cunningly devised stories or fables, but from the Holy Scriptures. Now here's our first sermon. One question that comes to my mind often is this. What keeps men from Christ? What keep men of mankind from Christ? I shared my life in the senior center and invite people to come here and so on. And once in a while, we see one or two coming in and listen and go. A lot of people come and visit our church. A lot of people sent letters and emails of words of appreciation, but we don't see commitment in their life. A lot of people claim to be Christians, but we don't see the Christian life in their life. And so I said to myself, what keeps mankind from Christ? Please turn now the pages of your Bible to the passage that our brother Plika read for us in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16 to 22 and page 565 if you are using the Bible that is in the pew. And if you are listening and you have no Bible and you want to listen to us and read the Bible yourself, you can write an email to us and we will send you a Bible free of charge to your home so that you have a Bible in your hands. Before we address those motives that stop mankind from coming to Christ, let us have a glance together of the passage background as God tell us, starting from verse 16. So we're going to go verse 16, 17, 18, until we arrive to 22 and see what the scripture really says. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, the Gospel of Matthew tell us that when the evening was come, Jesus had a very active day, but when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, or it's correct if you translate the word devils with demons, demons possessed, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, or you can use the word ill. He healed. He did two things. He worked in a marvelous way. After Jesus, remember, healed the leper, the centurion, a slave boy, and Peter's mother-in-law. They are all in the previous verses. He go and visit Peter, and I think he was worried that his mother was sick, and he healed his mother. After he did all of these, the Gospel of Matthew reports that the crowd brought to him countless other people to be healed without regarding of individual faith or circumstances. Look at again verse 16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many, countless quantity of people that were possessed with demons. The Bible doesn't say that they brought Jewish people or that they brought Gentile people. They brought everybody they found who were sick, they brought to Jesus. Regardless what kind of faith those people have or what kind of social status those people have, they all came to Jesus for a particular need. Whatever the problem, and some of them were spiritual, like the case of demon possessed, or physical, like those who were ill, as you notice, Jesus healed them all. You see that verse? In the verse, the Bible said they brought unto him many that were possessed with demons and cast out the spirits with his word and heal all that were sick. Now, Jesus was not saying, well, I want to heal this, but I will not do this with this. Jesus received them all. I want you to know that. That's a very important point. Doesn't matter what your race is. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter how deep in sin you are. You just come to Jesus. He received them all. Whatever the problem, Jesus was available. Now, you notice in verse 17, the verse 17 tells us that through his healing miracles, he participated in the human pain and sorrow. Verse 17 tells us that he himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Let me read it for you again. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Now my question is how? This happened 2,000 years ago. How can this happen again and again and again and again? What verse 17 is talking about? As I look closely to verse 17, I found three things that are very, very important. How did Jesus can heal you today? If you come to Jesus today, how can he receive you just as in the time when he received these people? Why? Why would Jesus do that? There are three things, before we go into this sermon, I want you to look, three things that Jesus does. First and most, Jesus can take care of you by sympathizing with mankind, pain and sickness. Keep one hand in Matthew and move your Bible to Hebrew chapter 4 and verse 15, page 705. Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 15. When I pray, I said we pray in the name of our high priest. You remember the temple? Nobody can go to God unless you go through the high priest. How come we Christians pray directly to God? Because Jesus has become a high priest. Look at in Hebrews 4 and verse 15. Look at what the Bible says. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Infirmities is an English word for diseases. But was in all points, the King James used the word tempted, and the word is try, in all points try, like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus can sympathize with somebody with demon possessed, even though he was never demon possessed. Jesus can sympathize with somebody sick, even though the Bible never reports that Jesus was sick. The Bible reports that Jesus was tired. The Bible reports that Jesus cried, but never reports that Jesus was sick. He has sympathy on you. He is not somebody way high, even though he is at the right hand of God, said the Bible. He's just walking with you and feeling you. Secondly, by the statement, when you go back to Matthew's and you see in verse 17, himself took the infirmities, the disease, and bare our sickness and carry away our diseases, that statement of our sickness or diseases, the gospel meant that he saw and felt the destructive power of the root cause. You know what is the root cause of our diseases that one day we die? Sin. Let's turn to the Bible in Romans chapter 5, please.
in verse 12, page 664. Romans chapter 5, in verse 12, page 664. This is the cause why you and I die. The Bible said this in Romans 5, in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And there is no way around. Even though mankind try, even though medicine try to find the way that you can live forever, it is impossible. It is impossible. Because death came because of sin. So Jesus sympathized with you, and Jesus know what is the root of your problem. One of the things in medicine is to find out when you go to the doctor, he asks you question after question. He knows what the symptoms are, but he relayed those symptoms, and he listened a little more, and he listened a little more, and finally he checks a little bit on your body to find out what the root of the problem really is. How deep is that infection? Or how serious is that pain? What is the root of that problem? And Jesus knows that the root of the problem of humanity is not that we live in the 21st century. No, the root is sin. The same problem that we had 2,000 years ago, we have it today. The reason why people are confused about their life, and want to, a man want to marry a man and a woman want to marry a woman, the reason why they are so confused is because it's not that we have no tolerance with them, it is because of sin. If you read Romans chapter 1, the Bible says that if you insist in your way of life, God will put his hands off. And then you are a mess, your country will be a mess, the whole thing will be a mess if God put his hand off from you. So see, Jesus sympathized with these people. Jesus know what the root of the problem is. And then thirdly, I want to say before touching the real issue is that he healed those people to give a preview of his kingdom. In other words, here is people demon-possessed. Have you ever seen somebody demon-possessed? Only once in my life I saw it. I used to have a very heavy, heavy desk and family radio. Absolutely heavy. Beautiful chairs. I bought it myself 29 years ago. Absolutely beautiful. And they brought this man, big giant fella. And they said, Pastor, he needs help. And he said, Pastor, I know you're a pastor. And he went under my desk. And my desk needs three men to lift it up. And with one hand, he lifted the desk like this. And I said, by the mercy of God, put it back. Cost me $1,000. Put it back. And I called a chaplain in San Quentin. If he can talk to him, somebody who was familiar to these kinds of things. He's a believer now. And I married that man to a lady. I did a wedding ceremony. Now, why did Jesus would heal somebody so deep out of business? Why will do this? He wants to give us a preview what heaven is today. We die with sickness, weak, and fragile, but not in heaven. Turn your Bible to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation chapter 21, and let me read for you verse 1 to 4 to give you a preview of heaven. That is page 731, way in the back of your Bible, Revelation chapter 21. Jesus then sympathized with the people. Jesus knew what he was doing because he knows the root of the problem. But then he wanted to give all of us a preview of what heaven really is. And then Jesus said these words in Revelation 21 and in verse 1. And I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. God is not repairing this world. I want you to know that. There are some theologians who think God's going to repair the world. No, no, no. It's going to be a new one. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned from her husband. The New Jerusalem is a picture of all the believers coming down. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. You know, that means God. That word is used in John 1:14 when Jesus became flesh. God was with man. And now God is using the same word. Not only the new people, the believers, are coming down from heaven, but God is coming down with them. God. Wow. And he will dwell with them, said the scripture. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now look at verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more, what? Death. That means no more disease, right? No more sickness. Shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Martha Goodman, my mother, Raquel's mother, you have some people in your family who are believers and now are in heaven. This world is passed away. They are enjoying God. God. And my friend, this is what Jesus did. He said, well, I'm going to tell them why some people are not coming to me. But before, I'm going to give them a bliss, just a picture of, using a PowerPoint picture of what is it, my power. So he sympathized with them. He understood the root of the problem, sin, and then he healed them to show them that in heaven there is no sin whatsoever, therefore there is no death, no disease. We will enjoy life, no malice, no lies. We don't have to guess what this person said. Isn't that a fantastic place? Fantastic place. Now, what are the motives then that keep men from coming to Christ? Jesus gave this background, and now verses 18 to 22 will give us two motives why people do not come to Christ. I mean, the churches are packed, but are really they saved? Many hundreds of people listen to the radio, and they say, oh, I listen to a Christian. Are you a Christian? Oh, yes, I am. I ask everybody here in town. I need to find somebody who is not a Christian yet. But, you know, I said, what church do you go? No, I don't go to church. I asked my young brother on the phone yesterday. I said, you are a Christian, don't you? Yes. You go to church? No, I'm my own pastor. Mamma mia, what's happening? Well, here it is. There are two things that really embarrass people who are not saved, what we call not saved. Two things. Verse 18 to 20 is one, and verse 21 and 22 is the other. And I don't have the time to go look at another people. The gospel mentioned two people, but when you read this passage again and look, there are three people involved. But there are two people who really are the example why, then help me to understand why this church is not packed to wall and so on, because you will see it. Because we mean business here in this church. The first motive why people would not come to Christ is called personal comfort. Personal comfort. Verse 18 to 20 reveal this. Now look at verse 18. We go back to Matthew chapter 8, page 565, verse 18. Verse 18 tells us that Jesus and his disciples were on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd became so massive that he gave orders to depart to the other side. There everybody is comforted. The disciples are with him. There is water. There is place. There is place to sit. They are very comfortable, and they are very good. But look at what happened in verse 18. Now, when Jesus saw great multitude about him, He gave commandment. Commandment means he gave an order to depart and to the other side of the sea. It'll take 2 hours with a boat or 3 hours. But everybody was enjoying themselves. Hey, we all these people coming in. We are here. He has come in. Jesus is sitting there. And when he saw the massive crowd, Jesus said, hey, let's go to the other side. Think for a moment. You are very comfortable in church. Close to you, or you take the freeway, come to church, or you are listening to me on radio, or on computer, or on a tape. And suddenly I preach something that hurts you. Suddenly I say, let's cross to the other side of the lake. What do you do? Well, let me show you what this guy did. Look at verse 19. Verse 19 tells us that one man was a certain scribe, and look what he said to Jesus. Verse 19, right here. And a certain scribe. A scribe is a doctor of the law. Actually, the word is didaskalos, a teacher. A teacher of the law. Now, you have to learn the Hebrew mentality. They don't have doctor's degrees and this and the other. The highest title a person could have is teacher. That's the highest. A teacher of medicine, a teacher of this, a teacher of the law. You will call today an attorney. All right? So, verse 19 tells us that a certain scribe came, certain teacher came, and said unto him, Master, said the King James, but actually it's the same word than a scribe, teacher, which is the highest degree. Now, a teacher will never call somebody else teacher because the scribes were super. They will copy the scripture. They were sharp people, right to the penny. I mean, they were the intellectuals of their generation. And then he's addressing to somebody else, teacher. And the King James, to honor Jesus, said master, but actually said teacher. I will follow thee whatsoever thou goest. Isn't that fantastic? Looks like it. This guy never followed Jesus, but looks good. You know, there are a lot of people who say, oh, pastor, this is my church. I will be here and help you. I have so many people said to me, I will raise a big building for you. I don't want your raising a building for me. I want God to raise a building, by the way. I don't want anybody to give any penny thinking that you are raising something for God. No, I want God to raise it. But there are people, I have received letters, I talk to people, and they say, oh, this is the best, until a servant comes and touches their heart. Verse 20, Jesus responded to the scribe's statement by Jesus making another statement. Look at what Jesus said in verse 20. Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nets. Now, these are the season. If you walk here in the trailers, you see them in the morning. At 7 o'clock, they are coming, and I watch them. I know I should don't let them do that, but I love it. I love birds. What can I do? And I see them over there, and I talk to them. They don't talk to me, but I talk to them. And they come in. They're working like beavers, you know, putting all of this together. And I'm an engineer, and I get a little step and look on it and see how they thread this. It's not marvelous. And when I'm closer, they I leave you guys, and I move away. The birds have nests. But the Son of Man, that's the title Jesus used for him. That's what Jesus called himself. 87 times in the gospel, Jesus called himself the Son of Man. It's out of Daniel chapter 9, where the prophecy is about Jesus. The Son of Man, said verse 20, had nowhere to lay his head. Wow, what is Jesus is saying? Here is what Jesus is saying. The Christian life is not adding Jesus to one's own way of life. You hear me? The Christian life is not adding Jesus to your lifestyle. No. Rather, is renouncing the personal way of life for his personal way of life and be willing to pay whatever cost that may require. That's when Jesus saved you, I don't have to tell you come to church. I don't have to tell you put money in the church. I don't have to tell you anything. I have to teach you the way, but you will want to. I asked my uncle, who was my pastor in Argentina, It's very hard when you grow in the family when your uncle is the pastor, because your mother knows everything you do wrong. Young people, I don't tell you, but I used to cut the buttons from my suit, put them in my eyes, and look like this to people when my uncle was preaching. Oh, I was terrible. But I tell you, the Christian life is no adding Jesus. See, I go to church on Sunday morning. And that's it. That's the last time you go to church. Or you do it. I just check in and check out. I remember one lady, remember one time came in selling things in my neighborhood here in Lake Anderson. And she said, I want to sell you that. I said, young lady, I want to invite you. Why don't you come with me to church? Oh, I already check out and check in and out. So what do you mean? Yeah, I already went in and went out at 8 o'clock service. That's what people do. So let's do a 7 o'clock service so we check in, check out, and have a life for ourselves. That's what I say. No. And then people, you know, this guy said, oh, I go wherever you go. That's the biggest statement. And Jesus said, you know, wherever I go, I don't have a place to sleep. You never heard anymore about this guy. Now, let me give you some that match our life. Go to Isaiah 58. That's page 439. Isaiah chapter 58. That's page 439. And let me read for you verse 13 and 14. Isaiah 58, page 439. And let me read for you something that maybe will embattle you the rest of your life if you are not a true Christian. Look at what the Bible says. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, you got it? And call the Sabbath a delight or sacred, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, no doing thy own ways, no finding thy own pleasure, no speaking thy own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places on the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is not Baptist theology, Catholic theology. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. God wants one day of your life for him, period. And people will not come. So I hear you again. And they leave it. But I would not lie to you. I think this is the only church that people check in at 9:30 and they leave at 6:30 or something like that. A handful of people. And not just leave two blocks from here. Some of them leave in Aptos. And some of them the way to Salinas and so on. And Fremont. I mean, why? They do it for me? No, they do it because this is the day of the Lord and this is their church. And God demands this. Cross the other side of the river. Now, to touch an issue more heavy. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The last chapter of 1 Corinthians, page 679. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look at in verse 1 and in verse 2. Page 679, 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. So, crossing the other side of the river means give your time to the Lord. Now, we have Wednesday prayer meeting, ladies' meetings on Monday, every other Monday, and so on. These are the cream on the cake. And we provide prayer lists to all of those who live far away, because we do understand when you have a large family, 10, 12, 15 children, or two children, that doesn't matter. I'm saying this so the young people who has only two or three keep on going. I understand, but you pray, because Bedodo called me and said, well, in the prayer list, and he's a single fellow, in the prayer list on Wednesday, that made my day. I told my wife, say, hey, Joe Bedodo's not sleeping. He reads the prayer list, and he talks about this and the other. Fantastic. That's what we do, using everything modernized to reach you. But Sunday is the day of the Lord. Is that right? Now look at what happened on Sunday. 1 Corinthians 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches, command, okay, to the churches of Galatia, that means five churches in the area, even so do ye. In other words, not only this is for the churches of Galatia, five of them churches, remember, Lycaonia and the others. This is also for you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in a store or save as God has prospered you. Now the Old Testament will tax you. They will tax you with 10%. And then they will tax you 12% on a special holiday. But the New Testament said, as God has prospered you. And some of you lost their job. And God doesn't expect you to provide at that moment, perhaps. But God said, when you get your income, save something. So that when the Lord comes, they come, you provide for them. When I say that, some people will quit coming. Others will say, this pastor is after money. No, I just told you what the Bible says. But I have people telling me, you are after money. No, I'm after your money. Cross the other side of the lake. Jesus said to this fellow, I will do whatever you want to. He said, well, let's cross to the other side of the lake. You never hear it again. The fellow never crossed. Let's go to the next one. Personal comfort. When you're a Christian, your personal comfort is gone. Now you have to follow the Lord. Number two, verse 21 to 22, reveal the second motive, personal riches. Look at verse 21. It's just amazing. In verse 21, the Bible said, and another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, this man, like the doctor, the scribe, the teacher in verse 19, was one of Jesus' disciples. And the same of being a follower, all right? He was a follower of Jesus who was unofficially identified with him. He was there, and he said, wait a minute, I'm okay here. What do you say? He said, well, we have to go to the other side. No, let me bury my father. Now, like this scribe, he assumed that his relationship to Jesus was all it should be. My life is okay. Until he hear a word that stopped him. Our people come here to church and they listen to my sermons. And like this email, they say, you are the best. Until a sermon touched their life. And rather than saying, thank you, Lord, they leave. Like this Christ, he assumed that his relationship to Jesus was all he should be. He is just okay. And he made what he seems to have a very reasonable request. Look again to verse 21. If you and I, without Hebrew, will read this, and without Hebrew history will read this, you say, well, this guy is very reasonable. He wants to bury his father. Now, let's look again. Lord, suffer, said that the King James. The word is permit me. Lord, permit me to go and bury my father. You say, well, pastor, he wants to do to the funeral of his father. Well, if you know culture and Hebrew, you will learn different. The man asking for permission to bury his father, however, did not mean that his father was already dead. The phrase was, at Jesus' time, a figure of a speech that refers to a son's responsibility to help his father in the family business until the father died and the inheritance was distributed. That's what the sentence was. He said, let me bury my father. No, well, I'm busy doing business with my father. When he died, then I dedicate my life to the Lord. Obviously, such a commitment could involve a long period of time. What if the father was young? Maybe past 30 years or more. The expression is still used if you go to Turkey and you say to somebody something, they will say that. Let me bury my father. This disciple does not want to risk losing his inheritance by committing his life to Christ. You know that? Simple like that. He wants to be associated with Jesus' name, but the focus of his life was on his personal prosperity and well-being, not on serving the Lord Jesus. He said, let's cross the lake. You mean I had to leave everything I had? One day, Brother Greg will have to leave all his engineering. I did it. I was a civil engineer with my own office. And one day I shake my hands of my partner and say, it's all yours. I finished seminary. And one day, Greg will have to face that. He means business. Now, look to Jesus' answer. It's just Fascinating, the answer in verse 22. Jesus said, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. In other words, let your father do his business. Don't worry about your father's business. Just follow me. Now again, here is a proverbial figure of speech, and Jesus is saying, allow the dead their own dead. Means, let the world take care of things of the world by themselves, but you follow me. Again, like described in verse 19, the second of his disciples was approaching Jesus on this occasion also, and disappeared, and no further mention is of this guy or the other guy. Let me tell you what I learned in the lesson today. What stopped men to come into Christ? Commitment to Christ, my friend, is total and unreserved. You cannot say, well, people tell me, if your church has an 8 o'clock service, I will be there. I don't want you there.
What?
Yeah, I don't want you there at 8 o'clock. Look at Matthew 16 and verse 24, page 572. Matthew 16 and verse 24, page 572. Commitment to Christ is total and unreserved. Jesus said, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny yourself. You know, I was 29 years in radio. I never have vacation in summer because the radio demanded that I be the speaker across the nation. I never complained. My wife never complained, even though she mentioned tonight to me many times. And I said, darling, we have the pleasure to preach the word. And you have the pleasure to play the piano and conference. We dedicate it to the Lord. Now, you have to deny yourself. Can't follow God and be yourself. Number two, coming to Christ is coming on his terms and not yours. A lot of people come to church. A lot of people say, I believe. I believe. Why? I said, it's not on your terms. It's in God's terms. And believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is totally identified with him. Today we're going to have the Lord's Supper. This verse I'm going to read for you in John 6, verse 54 is a great verse. John 6, verse 54, page 626. This is what the Lord's Supper really represents and really teaches us. He that eateth my flesh, said Jesus, and drinketh my blood, have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Whatever you put in your car for the gas tank, if you put water, that's what the car will have and don't work. You have to put gasoline. Whatever you eat, that's what you are. Is that right? Or whatever you drink. And the Bible said Jesus is demanding that we will be like eating physically Jesus' body and blood. I mean, our body had to be so deep into Jesus, they will be one with Jesus. Is Jesus Christ an attachment to your life, or is your life? Is Jesus Christ an attachment to your life, or Jesus is your life? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You brought to us this remarkable and wonderful example. Two men, both of them manifest to follow you entirely, committed. But when they have to make a statement and a decision, their decision were for themselves. Lord, I pray that people would not play with Jesus. Oh, they are willing to go and see a movie. They are willing to go and cry in a movie. But when Jesus said, let's cross the lake, they say goodbye. Oh, Father, have mercy on them that they may believe. In Jesus I pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. So beautiful. I don't tell them to sing that song. That's the Holy Spirit working through Marilyn and these beautiful girls and Mrs. Laurel. Thank you very much. Please, the deacons come forward. Today we have the Lord's Supper, Jovino Riel.